I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I would not have done that with the National Guard's people because... what's that?
It's the Imperial March, which is the Darth Vader. Hello, everyone, and welcome to George Conway Explains It All to Sarah. I'm Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, and because I'm not a lawyer, I've asked my friend George Conway from the Society for the Rule of Law to explain the illegal news to me every week, and we are back. Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Sarah?
You know, I'm great. I've been podcasting all day, and I'm ready for this one because I got a bunch of things that I don't understand that I need you to explain to me. And I feel like we're going to have to start having like a standing segment about the interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, because she keeps doing the weirdest stuff. She's the one who indicted James Comey and Letitia James. We are recording on Friday, and today Tish James pleaded not guilty in her arraignment in federal court. The trial is scheduled for January 26th. And if Halligan's prosecution of Letitia James isn't bizarre enough, things with Halligan got even weirder when Halligan started a Signal conversation with Lawfare reporter Anna Bauer, who I think we all follow closely. Apparently, Halligan had issue. She was mad at some of Bowers's tweets, which linked to New York Times coverage of the case. At one point, Halligan told Bauer, "You're biased. Your reporting isn't accurate. I'm the one handling the case, and I'm telling you that. If you want to twist and torture the facts to fit your narrative, there's nothing I can do. Waste to even give you a heads up." Now, Anna Bauer was over on Tim's show, and she was interviewed about this. We'll add it to the show notes. But George, I wanted to get your take on this because, like, since when do prosecutors just text somebody because they're mad about a tweet?
Look, I'm not a journalist and I've never been a prosecutor. I don't know how often it is, but this just struck me as completely bizarre and pointless. And I can't imagine any professional prosecutor doing what she did here because it was completely stupid and pointless. And I mean, it was stupid on any number of levels, even apart from the question of what federal prosecutors do and how they're supposed to behave. I mean, the first point was, I mean, you've been involved in kind of in politics and law. You're an adult. You read newspapers, presumably. You've talked to journalists in the past, presumably. It's like, if you don't want them to print something with your name on it, you have to ask and say, I can talk to you on background. I can talk to you off the record. She didn't do that. That's point one. Point two is also a non-legal point, which is how you deal with the press. All right. First of all, she's attacking Anna Bauer for retweeting a New York Times story that said certain things, and she was pointing out certain things in the New York Times story that were interesting. Her beef was with the New York Times, not with Anna Bauer. So why not just tell the Times? If you're going to tell a newspaper reporter or a journalist of any sort that they've gotten something wrong, you can't just say, you got that wrong. Okay, that's not how you get them to undo stuff. You have to tell them what is wrong. So she asks her, what is wrong? And, you know, she's like, I can't tell you. It's like, fine. But, and then she says at one point, and by the way, there's grand jury material in there. It's like, okay, which she can't really talk about. because she's a prosecutor. She's subject to Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, which say that prosecutors cannot reveal the proceedings that occur before a grand jury, cannot reveal them publicly, although defense lawyers can and witnesses can. Other people who are not in the grand jury can. And certainly newspapers can if they talk to people who have knowledge of what's going on in the grand jury who are not subject to Rule 6E, you know, such as the defense lawyers. So it's unclear what her complaint there was. And then Anna Bauer gets these bizarre, this bizarre collection of communications that don't really go anywhere. And then she says, well, I'm just going to print this out because it's just weird and it wasn't off the record. So she goes and asks the Justice Department for comment. And then Lindsay Halligan says, that stuff was all off the record, which is like, that's not how this works. The whole thing was just completely stupid and pointless and may not have done anything technically improper by the prosecutor, but it just shows like, who is this person and what the fuck is she doing?
Yeah, so I don't know anything about like the nature of how prosecutors do these things. I do know quite a bit about how one interacts with the media and how you go off the record and how all that stuff happens. And anybody who is public facing like this understands some very basic rules about communication with the media. Number one is if you want to go off the record, you have to say that up at the beginning of the conversation and everybody has to agree that something's going to be off the record. So I will oftentimes have a conversation with a reporter. And sometimes I'll say, well, I'm going to go off the record to say this thing that I don't necessarily want to see in print, but like provides helpful context for something, or I'm trying to do some kind of give an example, but I don't want them to quote me out of context on the example. So like, there's lots of reasons why somebody might go off the record, but it's something you have to agree to. That's just the rules of the game. And everybody sort of understands that that's the rules of engagement. So she didn't do that, but it turns out. So the other thing that was interesting to me is that she met Anna Bauer somewhere. And that's why, so she knew her just a little bit because Anna Bauer, like early in the exchange, thinks, well, this isn't really Lindsay Halligan. She thinks it's right. A joke. But then Lindsay Halligan is able to provide the details of where they met. And she's like, oh, okay, this is her. And I think that what it's clear to me that Halligan is doing is special pleading with someone she feels like she knows just a little bit, where she's trying to say like, yeah, you guys don't understand this. And to me, that is a incredibly immature way to go about this. Like, so you, if you're Lindsay Halligan, and it just, to me, it smacks of wild inexperience and of being so far out of her depth in terms of what she's doing, which is a reminder. And this is why I did want to start with this story, because it is a reminder that Donald Trump inserted an insurance lawyer into this role because he needed somebody who knew just enough to prosecute these cases, but doesn't really know enough to do anything other than take direction. And I just thought it was a really interesting window into how little understanding she has about the way that things work.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. But I don't even think Donald Trump put that much thought into it about like, she's just someone who knows enough to do it. And she was the only one who would do it.
Yeah.
There was nobody else he could find who would actually do this. And so that's the thing. And that sort of makes it interesting because they seem to be having another problem that's similar to what they had in the Eastern District of Virginia. They're having a similar problem, allegedly, in the District of Maryland, where they've had apparently people from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Maryland trying to make a case, a mortgage fraud case of some sort, a Pulte case against a Senator Adam Schiff of California. And it was reported just yesterday or the day before by NBC News that investigation has completely stalled because career prosecutors don't see a case. They don't, they think it's all bullshit. And so that's not going to make the boss happy. But he already allegedly appointed Lindsay Halligan to the Eastern District of Virginia. We'll see how long that lasts. Well, who's he got for the District of Maryland? Is he going to fire people there or push them out the way he did in the Eastern District of Virginia? And, I think if he could find someone to bring the case against Adam Schiff, he'll do it, even if it's completely stupid, because the cases against Comey and against and Letitia James are just unbelievably stupid. Merits don't seem to matter to anybody. I mean, to anybody in the White House. They matter to lawyers whose licenses are on the line and prosecutors who are professional, but we'll see.
Well, you know, Tish James pleaded not guilty. And I don't know that there's anything we can glean or learn from that in terms of like when the trial date is. It just seems, though, that like Comey, she believes she can beat this.
Yeah, I think she can beat this, too. I mean, the case just looks weak unless Lindsey Halligan is somehow telling the truth that the evidence has not been well reflected in the media reports. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, as Anna points out in her article, it's like the one thing that she seemed to be disputing was something about rents. But it really, the amount of rent doesn't really matter that much that if Tish Game received any, because the regulations, the whole concept of owning a second home is that you can rent it out occasionally without it becoming an investment property. So the fact that she made a little bit, she occasionally rented it out, isn't inconsistent with any representation she probably made in any of these mortgage papers, which we actually haven't seen. So it's the case is unfathomable. Maybe there is something that just hasn't been reported that doesn't make any sense. They could have put it in the indictment, but they didn't. Maybe we are just not smart enough to understand the legal complexities that Lindsey Halligan seems to have internalized, but is restricted from being able to tell Anna Bauer, except in general terms. So I kind of doubt that, but here we are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was kind of a goofy one. This show is sponsored by Factor. Fall always feels like a reset between back to school, busier routines, and shorter days. Finding time to cook can be tough. It's always tough for me. That's why I love Factor. And I know you do too, George. Their chef prepped, dietitian approved meals make it easy to stay on track and enjoy something comfortable and delicious, no matter how hectic the season gets. You can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp, at no extra cost. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly meals and new Mediterranean diet options packed with protein and good for you fats. For the first time, try Asian inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. Feel the difference no matter your routine. A few of these guys in my office are on a health kick because they, by their own admission, all they do is talk about this. They let themselves go a bit during election season last year. So the fridges in my office are full of this stuff and they love it. That's all they do. Eat smart at factormeals.com/askgeorge and use code askgeorge50 off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code askgeorge50 off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. The thing I really wanted to ask you about this week that we haven't talked about too much, I don't know, maybe if you did this with JBL at some point, but I want to talk about the boat attacks.
Yeah.
It's obviously a more serious topic, but the administration has continued these strikes on suspected drug carrying boats. There are now 9 U.S. warships deployed in the Caribbean, and Trump has declared that the U.S. is in an armed conflict with drug cartels. The death count for these strikes is up to at least 43 people. I've been following the legal back and forth online. I've read some articles about it, but I can't quite get my head around, is this legal? This is the thing. Is it legal what he's doing?
No, it's not legal under domestic law. It's not legal under international law.
But he seems to think it's legal.
He thinks a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay. But like, it seems like they've gotten legal opinions on this.
I love to see those legal opinions. I think that every lawyer who has looked at this would love to see those legal opinions if they exist, because it's just it's unfathomable. Nobody can understand how you can get to from traditional principles of international law and international human rights law and the law of war to bombing boats with suspected drug smugglers on it who aren't firing at anybody, who aren't engaging any kind of, as the phrase goes, I think, kinetic warfare. They're not blowing anything up. They're not threatening physical harm directly to anybody by firing weapons at them. The harm is more diffuse. It's basically they're smugglers and they're smuggling something into a country. It gets into the country at some point and it could cause harm there. That is not something that the law of armed conflict touches, because it's not armed conflict. I mean, if you are engaging in attacks on those people, you're just attacking civilians. And if you're attacking civilians who aren't a military threat, you're committing murder. And it's not that hard. And there are federal statutes that would apply to Americans conspiring to kill people outside the jurisdiction of the United States. And those theoretically apply. And that's even apart from the question of, even if assuming it was some kind of a war, a legitimate war involving, armed conflict and the self-defense of the United States from armed attack, which didn't occur here. I mean, then you'd have a whole issue about congressional authorization. What's the authorization for it? There's nothing like the AUMF, the authorization for the use of military force that Congress passed in the wake of 9/11, which people dispute was used properly, and people dispute was a sufficient legal justification for 20 odd years of involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. But here you don't even get to that. You don't get to that because there was no armed conflict. Al-Qaeda at least was, attacked us. Okay. Saddam Hussein, well, he at least at one point he was threatening, he allegedly had weapons that could be used to attack us. Allegedly, although
turns out he didn't have those.
He didn't have them, so that was a problem for the government.
He famously didn't have them.
But at least there was some kind of a coherent argument. Somebody's just running a smuggling operation, even if they're armed and dangerous to people in their own country. If they're not actually attacking your country physically with their weapons. Now, if a Coast Guard boat came up to one of these boats on the high seas and was fired upon, well, the Coast Guard boat or Navy boat would get to fire back, right? That's just basic self-defense. But again, even that would be just an isolated incident. That doesn't mean that there's an organized armed attack that allows you to, engage in war.
But can I ask you a dumb question? So we had the war on terror and we had the war on drugs. And so now it's like, well, this is the war on the cartels, right? That's what he's saying it is. And I keep trying to figure out, it doesn't have to be like an actual war. Maybe it's a rhetorical, maybe he's saying okay, we declare war on the cartels, but is he allowed then?
No,
I guess I'm trying to say that I see that it could just be rhetoric, but what they're doing, regardless of whether they declare war on the cartels, explain to me I'm five what the law says about, because I have no sympathy for drug traders, drug smugglers, whatever. The question is that as best I could tell, some of these, they use fishing boats, who maybe aren't necessarily smugglers. We don't know. This is the main thing. It's just if we want to deport the MS-13 guys, we're okay, deport them. But you have to have some mechanism for finding out if they are in fact MS-13. So in this case, you have to have some mechanism by figuring out, are they a threat to us really? But instead, it's not clear to me that they know that.
Well, it's not clear that they know that. And even if they knew that these people were smuggling drugs on those boats, it still wouldn't be a legal justification for an armed attack. Because again,
are we supposed to do? Just let drugs come into the country?
No, you can interdict the boats. You can arrest the people and then you try them for
allegedly smuggling the boats.
Correct. That's the traditional approach, because it's not, The war on terror was one thing, because at least in the case of, let's leave apart Saddam, at least in the case of Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda launched an armed attack on the United States, multiple armed attacks on the United States, and threatened to do more. Okay, even though it wasn't a sovereign state, it was sort of, it was an armed, these were combatants, and we were entitled, the theory goes, and I think it's true, to engage, to use armed force back. That's also leaving apart the question of authorization under Article 2 or Article 1 of the Constitution. This, again, is even if these boats were loaded up full of product, or I was going to make a Don Jr. joke, but I won't. Even if they were loaded up with stuff that, with contraband, that's still not an armed threat to anybody. And so, therefore, even if you knew, you had 100% certainty what was on those boats, you couldn't do what they did to these boats under international human rights law, under the law of war, and as a result, under U.S. law.
So why is anyone stopping him?
Well, who's going to stop him?
I don't know. Do we? I mean,
again, the rhetoric, they're using rhetoric as a substitute for evidence of reality. And this is something we have been talking about in other contexts, and they're doing it again here. Just because a war on drugs is not a war under international law. It's a metaphorical war, but it's not one that you fight with drones and missiles and the United States Navy. Right. It's a war on drugs, war on poverty, same kind of thing. You know, those are metaphorical wars. They're not wars under an international or domestic law. So what they do is they decide if we don't like something and the president wants to do harm to somebody, you lump them in with the worst possible descriptor, whether that be a James Comey or a Letitia James or protesters in the burning, ravaged city of Portland. You use rhetoric to describe a reality that doesn't exist, and then you pretend there's a legal rationale for acting on that alternative reality that doesn't exist, that is a figment of your own imagination and your own mendacious rhetoric. And, you know, again, repeat and rinse. And this is what the Trump administration does in any number of contexts.
Okay, so that answers that question. But when I say, why can't somebody stop it? And you say, well, who would do that? I guess I mean, like, I don't know, when we were putting people on planes to foreign gulags, judges stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. And why hasn't anybody tried to get to force Trump?
Who has standing to do that? And there's a real question. Who has standing? Maybe a fisherman could bring a lawsuit saying, I drive my boat around in the Caribbean, and they're going to come to the United States and bring a lawsuit in the United States, and a U.S. district judge is going to enjoin the United States Navy. It's completely illegal, but it's not clear that there's a civil court remedy for it. I mean, we're having enough trouble sort of litigating these, you know, deployment of the National Guard in our cities cases. I mean, this is just something where it really is. I mean, first of all, if you're going to enforce laws against murder, you need a federal government that is, you know, devoted to enforcing the laws against murder as opposed to breaking them. That's point one. Point two is, there's a congressional issue here. Congress is the one who has the power to authorize the actual conduct of war and funds the military. So what they should be doing would be refusing to allocate money for this. But, you know, we have a completely docile and servile and non-functional Congress, except that maybe now they're starting to, the Democrats are refusing to vote with the Republicans to fund the government. I mean, I think the reasons that they have listed are, I guess they're good and sufficient, but it should be that we're running an illegal operation all sorts of illegal operations in the guise of the United States government, and federal funds that we vote for as legislators should not be used for those purposes. So that's the way you stop this. It's not going to be an injunction by a court, although, it's just not going to be, I doubt it's going to be an injunction by the court, but it wouldn't surprise me at some point if it got into litigation. But again, this is an area, the use of force outside the four corners of the United States, or the many infinite corners of the United States, is just not something a federal judge is going to get into, no matter how brazenly illegal it is under international law. And even if it could be something that could be prosecuted by the next administration, if the people who are getting these orders down the chain of command, well, they can, if they know what the true facts are, they can be prosecuted, and it doesn't matter that the order came from the president of the United States.
Well, it's nice for him because he has immunity.
But yes, that's the problem, right?
Downstream, this is this, don't.
This is like a variant of the SEAL Team 6 hypothetical, actually.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, he hasn't decided to stick the U.S. Navy on, I don't know, Letitia James's house or something. Not yet.
Yeah, but you did answer the thing that I was really trying to, which makes sense, that there's not really somebody withstanding
right
to do it, right? Like, at least in the cases of the migrants who are being sent, they can petition the government. Like, they can sue people, but these random Venezuelan boats where...
Yeah, although there's an interesting thing where there was an incident, and I believe I read about last week, that where they blew up a boat and there were survivors, and the survivors were rescued by U.S. forces. And then those people were released.
Yeah.
Which basically, to me, was like an admission they had murdered the rest of them. Because if these people were actually doing what the government claimed they were doing that justified the bombing of their boat, then you would have taken the two people or three people or however many people survived who were part of that illegal operation and actually smuggling drugs. You could have prosecuted them for smuggling drugs. You wouldn't have turned them back over. But if you turn them back over, that means... gee, you didn't have a legal basis to arrest them and prosecute them. So if you didn't have a legal basis to arrest and prosecute them, what was your justification to blow them up as part of a war? Sorry. It's the problem, you know, every time you apply logic to most basically anything this administration does, this is where you get.
This just seems like, you know, at this point, the body count's really starting to pile up, and it feels like somebody should answer the question of, is this legal or not? Because it feels not.
Outright murder. Okay. It's just not, there is no competent lawyer who's going to tell you this is not murder. And it doesn't matter that it's happening outside the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. And the reason why, you know, and I think Americans say, well, so what? These are bad people. I'm sure it's not. It's somewhere abroad off our shores, and it's sort of out of mind. But I mean, the reason why we respect we respect international law, or should respect international law, whether it be the law of war or the law of or international human rights law, is if somebody bombed a yacht off the coast of Nantucket in international waters, if they did that, saying that these people were doing illegal things, they were importing, you know, I don't know, cannabis to somewhere, I don't know, allegedly, we go batshit, even if they were criminals. We can't have American ships and American boats being bombed by other countries when there's no argument that there's armed combat going on, where the threat is, I don't know, maybe not failing paying custom taxes or importing contraband. This is not how this works.
Okay. Well, you've given us our pivot to our ad.
Uh-oh.
This show is sponsored by IndiCloud. You ever scroll the headlines and feel your blood pressure rise? Yes. Same. That's where IndiCloud comes in. IndiCloud is a fully legal online dispensary. No cards, no dispensary runs, no mystery gummies from a friend's cousin. Yeah, don't do that. They've already delivered over 10 million gummies, mountains of flour, and enough pre-rolls to get through another election season. Every product is tested in DEA-certified labs and shipped straight to your door discreetly. That's why more than 50,000 customers already trust IndiCloud to keep their buzz hassle-free. If you're 21 or older, head to indacloud.co. Use code AskGeorge for 30% off your first order plus free shipping. That's indacloud.co, code AskGeorge. 30% off, free shipping, and less stress delivered to your door. Support the show by filling out their quick survey when you order, and thank into cloud for making the news cycle just a little easier to handle. Don't forget, please enjoy responsibly. Always enjoy responsibly. I got to tell you, when I saw that IndieCloud was a sponsor, I thought it was a VPN. Like, I thought it was, you know, they were in the cloud of the computers. But no, it's about where it puts your body, I think, after you take one.
That you just smoked that ad. It was great. Smoked it. You just
glad I didn't. Glad I didn't make hash of it.
Ooh.
All right.
This program is going to pop.
I'm not even going to try.
I think I'm going to leave.
Yeah, I don't think I can try to out pun you. You are you're a savant when it comes to the puns.
No, I'm just a dad.
Let's talk for a minute about Trump's $230 million damage claim. This is the topic I really wanted to get to. He's alleging mistreatment by federal law enforcement during their investigations into his misconduct.
Oh, poor baby.
Most people who try to sue the government face a real uphill battle, but as chief executive, Trump's got quite the advantage. Can you break this one down for me? Like, what laws at issue here? What is the Federal Tort Claims Act? I'm going to settle in here while you explain this to me.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, the Federal Tort Claim Act is a law that allows people to recover money from the government when the government has caused them physical harm in a not legal fashion. I'll make up a hypothetical. Let's just suppose there was a bad FBI bureau chief who decided he wanted to punish, I don't know, his wife's boyfriend by sending FBI agents to go beat him up and do nasty things to him using his official authority, but it was completely illegal. There was no basis. There was no probable cause. There was no basis to arrest the guy. He just did that. That could arguably be, you know, that could be something you could do if it's just completely illegal and it was done by government people on government time. You know, that's the mechanism by which you would bring a claim against the government. But it's got to be just absolutely positively egregious. And it's a very, very hard standard to meet for people. And it's hard, even if it's clear, even if you win your case, like you get your case dismissed because the search of your house was unlawful and they raided you with a warrant that was defective or something like that. It, you know, you have to show that it was really done in incredibly bad faith. And that's really, really hard to do. And there's a whole process under which you can settle settle cases very careful that have these claims and settle them out of court. But again, it's really, really hard to do that. It's really hard to get those damages, really hard to get these awards. But Donald Trump, he gets to decide for himself. He feels he was wronged and he's got all these people who will do what he says. And he thinks he deserves $230 million. Now, let's leave apart the fact that he raised $250 million, you know, or more or whatever it was for his various legal funds. Where did that go, by the way? But it's just completely, absolutely ridiculous because all the federal charges that were brought against him were legitimate charges. I mean, you know, you can, even if it turned out that he would have been acquitted on some of those charges, and I believe he would be convicted on, he would have been convicted across the board, I think, in the Mar-a-Lago case if it ever been tried by a real judge, and a real jury. And I think the January 6th case still had a lot of juice left in it, even after the Supreme Court's immunity decision. And there was certainly probable, you know, he complains about the execution of the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago were the classified documents. I mean, the documents were there. All right. He's got no complaints. He's got literally the federal government committed no wrong, no tort against him. The only wrongs that were committed in those prosecutions was the wrong that he was not brought to justice and that he's sitting in the White House today instead of a federal penitentiary where he should have been for quite a number of years.
You know, let me just back up and quickly say, because this case is, or this thing that he's doing, it is insane. No, so he's basically going to his own DOJ,
right,
which is now populated by the people who were his defense attorneys.
Well, except for the one who's now on the Third Circuit.
Sure. but it has a bunch of people who defended him in these actual cases that are there that are going to make the decision as to whether or not to pay him this $230 million.
Yeah. Quite
That's
a scam,
bananas.
Isn't it? It's completely bananas.
And look, if a regular person, right? So if like somebody who was illegally detained by ICE or something, they tried to win a case against the government like this, they couldn't win that case.
No. It would have to be just a completely insane circumstance where the federal investigators or officers were so completely out of control. And this is not even in the same universe. It's just,
is he going to get it?
Well, look, I mean, what they could, their view clearly is they can do whatever they want and he can do whatever he wants. If there ever is a payout, that might lead to some interesting litigation, because there is a law called the False Claims Act that allows people to point out claims that are made on the FISC that are false. I mean, it really started with, I think, procurement fraud, I think, in the Civil War. And you can prosecute a claim against people who have legally received money for making false claims on the government that were paid out. And you can get like a bounty. You can bring the case. It's like a derivative action in corporate law. It's you're bringing it on somebody else's behalf. You bring it on the United States' behalf. The thing is, though, is the United States can take control of it. And there's a whole area. It's a whole interesting area of law, but that's the only mechanism by which I think you might be able to do something, but it would be after the fact and after the money is paid. Right now, there's no legal recourse to stop it. It's just outrageously corrupt. And if Congress were, if Congress were actually doing something, they would conduct oversight about this, and they won't. I mean, Jamie Raskin, I think I read somewhere, was promising that if the Democrats take control of Congress, they would conduct such oversight. And I would expect that they would. There's a whole lot. I mean, there's going to be like 50 years of oversight for the last year if Democrats ever get control of Congress again. It's going to be a jobs program for lawyers.
Yeah. Knock on wood, that oversight is coming. Okay.
Yeah, we have to get there.
Our next sponsor is Mudwater. Fall is officially in full swing, and I am here for it. Crisp air, flannel shirts, and that back to routine energy that makes you want to actually get things done. And boy, am I getting things done nowadays. There's a lot going on in my life outside of the podcasting grind, and I need to keep up my energy without the coffee jitters or that afternoon crash, which kills me. That's where Mudwater comes in. It's a coffee alternative made with cacao, chai, turmeric, and functional mushrooms like lion's mane and reishi. So you get energy and focus without the wired feeling or midday slump. It's really like a happy medium kind of feeling. And if you're more of a matcha person, their matcha starter kit is a total game changer. It's smooth, earthy, and gives you just the right amount of lift without the bitter aftertaste or weird additives a lot of matchas sneak in. I've been swapping it in for my usual latte in the afternoon, and honestly, no regrets. It feels good and it tastes good. And if you're running errands, you can grab it at Target or the Sprouts stores nationwide. I don't know if you've ever gone into one of those. Because fall is busy enough, your morning routine shouldn't make it harder. Every single ingredient in Mudwater's products are 100% USDA certified, organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. There's also zero sugar and no sweeteners added. There's also caffeine-free blends available. Ready to make the switch to cleaner energy? Head to MUDWTR.com and grab your starter kit today. Right now, our listeners get an exclusive deal up to 43% off your entire order. That's a lot. Plus free shipping and a free rechargeable frother when you use code ASKGEORGE. I love the frother. I use the frother all the time. That's right up to 43% off with code ASKGEORGE at MUDWTR.com. After your purchase, they'll ask you how you found them. Please show your support for George Conway here and let them know we sent you. One last thing before we go, George, and that is I guess I was going to say, this is back to our puns. On a slightly lighter note, a man was arrested for playing the Darth Vader theme music behind National Guard troops in D.C., and now the ACLU is suing on his behalf. Let me read you a sentence or two from their filing. The law might have tolerated government conduct of this sort a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but in the here and now, the First Amendment bars government officials from shutting down peaceful protests, and the Fourth Amendment bars groundless seizures. Love to see the ACLU highlighting the absurdity of this arrest. George, or what do you, how do you feel about Darth Vader guy?
I joke that if I were the government lawyer trying to defend this case, I would say, I have a bad feeling about this case.
It does lend itself to a lot of...
Oh, and it lends itself to, you pick your favorite Star Wars line. And I mean, look, I mean, it is, it's hilarious, but it's a slam dunk violation of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go through that. I mean, if the facts were the guy was just, he had his iPhone out. And he was just playing the music, not that loudly. I mean, it was just an iPhone. He was not up, you know, on top of them. He was a few feet behind them, and he kind of followed them around. He didn't play the music all the time, but even though he could have, it was just a protest. He was just protesting. It was, you know, it was. There was no way that isn't protected by the First Amendment. But what happened was this sergeant from the Ohio National Guard took offense to the guy following him around with this music and annoyed the crap out of him. And he said, we're going to have the DC police take care of you if you don't back off. And the guy kept doing it. And they called the DC cops, and the DC cops took the guy away. They arrested him. They held him for a while. And then they released him. And it's completely illegal. It's a complete violation of the guy's First Amendment rights. And quite funny, but it just shows you the absurdity of where we've gotten. No, I have to say, I mean, I would not have done that with the National Guard's people because what's that?
It's the Imperial March, which is the Darth Vader. I'm sorry. I was playing you out, but I didn't realize you had another point to make. So.
No, I don't even know what the point is. It's
your point was you would not have done this.
I would not have done that because my view of it, the National Guardsmen, at least, you know, the ones who are just hanging out in the Capitol, they did not sign up for this. Okay. I mean, they're not itching to do this stupid performative stuff. They know it's stupid. At least I think they do. I mean, I was at the No Kings rally on Saturday, and we actually marched by some like three or four guardsmen who were just like sitting on a fence, basically, or sitting on a wall on Constitution Avenue. And they waved at us. And I said, hey, how you doing? And my view was like, we don't hold you. You know, we know you don't want to be here. And they're not ICE, but the guy had the perfect First Amendment right to do what he did.
Sure.
And the fact that you know, it makes for a quite complaint, I have to say.
Yeah, my it's funny because the National Guard is all over town, so you see them, and they're like, they really aren't. I mean,
they're not doing anything.
They're like hanging out. Yeah. and they are whatever it is. This instance actually is interesting to me, just that that they got into it, because most of them are like, they are waving. They are trying to keep things chill. They don't want anybody.
They're not trying to
get into it with anyone.
Right. They're just like, okay, we're here and we're going to, you know, we get to talk to the people at the train station, and they're not really, you know, I feel bad for them.
All right, George, as always, thank you so much for explaining the illegal news to us. I really appreciate it. I had some real questions this time around. Guys,
real questions.
I know, but I genuinely have been watching this Venezuela boat thing and thinking, what, like, I did wonder why it couldn't be stopped the way some of the other extra legal things that he was doing couldn't be stopped. And I think you explained it well.
Yeah.
All right, guys, don't forget to hit subscribe.
I think we should do more about it in the future, because this is actually a big, big thing. And it really is one of the more outrageous things, because it's killing people. It is literally killing people. We're killing murder. It's murder. It's outright murder. And I mean, I think we should do more about it in the future, because I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon.
All right. Well, I'm going to work on getting smarter on it so we can talk about it more and probably do some focus groups on it. Because I know that voters, they hear, you know, drugs and they think like, yeah, go ahead, blow up drug smugglers. I don't think anyone's really done the work yet to try to explain to the American people why this is so outrageous and why we can't just go around doing these things. Go, if you think they're smuggling drugs, send the Coast Guard, send a military boat, get on the boat.
Then if they shoot at you, you can shoot at them.
Or, I mean, go in with your guns drawn and check them out, like whatever, but just don't.
Yes.
The idea that we're just bombing them out of the water without knowing who it is is crazy.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try one more time. Don't forget to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and we will see you next week.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption too. The legal tangles and troubles, they're growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell Longwell all about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the emoluments to the Russian ties. Oh, Sarah, listen close.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.